Looking for a new high-end mascara without breaking the bank? The new L'Oreal Paris Panorama Mascara gives you a high-end lash look in a premium gold luxe packaging. It's all about panoramic volume and fully fanned out lashes. With its tapered brush, the new Panorama Mascara catches every single lash, giving you the false lash look without any of the hassle. Say goodbye to clumps and flakes, because this mascara is specially formulated to resist them all day with up to 24-hour wear. And the best part? It performs better than Luxe mascaras at only a fraction of the cost. You can buy Panorama Mascara on Amazon today.
Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte clear liners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you could pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's B-Y-T-E.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
This episode is brought to you by Philo. Do you love TV? Do you love saving money? Then Philo is your solution. Philo has shows, movies, and live TV for just $25 a month. You can even try it for free with their 7-day free trial. No contracts, no commitments, no hassles. Just a better way to watch TV. Never miss a minute of shows like the hit docuseries Where is Wendy Williams? Or classics such as Friends. If you can't get enough TV, then there's no better way to watch. Philo has more than 70 channels like BET, MTV, and AMC. And the best part? You can try it yourself with their 7-day free trial. Sign up today at philo.tv/poppods. That's philo.tv/poppods to get 50% off your first month.
Doug hates candy wrappers, screaming baby sticky seeds with 50 as in popcorn kernels in his teeth. There's still not one that he won't see, 'cause Doug loves movies.
Hey, 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 everybody. My name is Doug, and I love Momenschance. This is Doug Loves Movies, coming to you once again from a dying planet. It's Thursday, June 11th, 2020, and my guests today are Judd Apatow, Jessica Kirsten, and Lisa Traeger.
Yay!
Hey.
Hey! Are we all on at the same time? Is it all together?
Yes!
What's that?
Yay! I didn't know that we were all going to have this explosion of togetherness.
It's a fun surprise for you, and I'd like to introduce you to the listeners individually and alphabetically, starting with that voice you just heard. Judd Apatow is here.
Yes, I am. Judd. I'm right here with you, Doug.
Hey, so I've always felt that you would accept, when people say Apatow or Apatow, that you just accept which either one.
I love it all. I love it all. I feel like Apatow is the mistake, but in a weird way, fancier.
Well, yeah, that's, I mean, I've known it's Apatow and always correct people, but then fucking John Lithgow comes along.
Yeah, that messes you up, right?
And he insists that it's Go, Lithgow.
Oh, yeah, I made that mistake. He was in This Is 40, and it took me months before I could make that adjustment. I'm bad at that adjustment. Like, names... Lisa, Liza, fuck me up. I cannot get it right. I've been calling my wife the wrong name forever because she's Leslie Mann, and I always call her Leslie. And I do a joke about it, but literally 20 years into our relationship, she's like, Judd, it's Leslie. Leslie, it's not Leslie. And I'm like, you literally have never said that in 20 years. And she said, because I knew you couldn't make the adjustment, and then I would just be mad at you all the time for not making the adjustment. And ever since I did a joke about it on a special, on a Netflix special, I still can't do it. She's like, I can't believe you made a joke out of it and you still don't do it.
It's hard to make those adjustments sometimes, but you know, it's as long as you're trying to make the effort, I guess that's the important thing.
That's true. I'm trying. Yeah. Well, because my brain doesn't really work. Like the other day, I have a cat named Honey. I had a cat 20 years ago named Mal, and out of the blue, about like 5 days ago, I just kept calling Honey Mal. Like the brain started melting down. And then yesterday I found out that they put Mal to sleep yesterday. And I think Mal was psychically reaching out to me through the universe.
Damn, how old was that cat?
You know, I got the time wrong. 16. The cat was 16. Yep.
So, that's an old cat.
I don't know if that makes you believe in like cosmic, you know, like flying through space, the cat wanting to tell me that it was beginning its next journey. But, or I have dementia. It's one or the other.
I just wish this cat could speak, just reach out to you and say something.
I know. It didn't, because we have two new cats now. We have Honey and Pumpkin. We finally found cats that are hypoallergenic. And we love them so much. I think that we've decided that our family's working better. You know, like we've never had that thing we all agree on. And now it's the love of the cats. Like, we love the cats more than we love each other, but they're like the center of the wheel now.
Well, that sounds like an amazing quarantine you've got going on there.
Exactly.
You probably have like do you have a lifetime supply of lotion? What is that lotion that Leslie does the ads for?
We have so much Jergens here. We're living on Jergens. We ran out of food and supplies, and we're just drinking Jergens all day long. And then we'll eat the cats. That's the weird thing. If it really comes down to it, we might have to.
I just keep waiting at one of those commercials for them to cut away to you, like with a box of tissues and a thing of Jergens.
I know.
Just in
I know.
The corner.
You know, you know that's the end of that campaign. At some point, I get pulled into it, and I do a filthy joke, and Jergens goes out of business instantly.
Also joining us today, I managed to get two of the stars of The King of Staten Island, which Judd directed and is available starting like tonight, right, Judd?
Yeah, I think like what I've been told is it's available starting midnight tonight, but also in a lot of places it'll start appearing around 9. I can't say it's going to hit exactly at 9, but most places like Apple, between 9, 9:30, it's going to start popping up. It's on a lot of people's, you know, their cable systems have ways to rent movies, and Amazon and Vudu and Google, and you just scream like, Siri, play the movie, and it'll just appear somehow.
Okay. This particular podcast we're doing right now will be also available tonight at midnight. So anybody listening, just assume that King of Staten Island is ready for you to watch. And do it.
Please.
Featuring the great and first time guest on this show. I'm excited to finally have you on. It's Jessica Kirsten.
Yeah.
Wow. That was the first applause I've gotten in 2 months.
That's all that's left.
That's amazing. And that's the last for probably another 2 months.
Well, one of us might clap at some point at something you say or do here today.
That's great. That would be
and
great.
I clapped, pretty hard at noticing you in the film. I saw it last night, and I don't want to spoil anything, so I don't really think we should talk about Jessica's specific scene, right, Judd?
You know, I don't know how your fans feel. I know they're hardcore movie fans. Let's just say that Jessica is in a very loving relationship with Robert Smigel. They're the Moskowitzes. And we don't want to say they own a pharmacy. That's all I'm going to say is they own a pharmacy, and there are complications.
Yes. That sounds about right. Have you seen it yet, Jessica?
I haven't, but I know someone who did, who is was blown away by it, Judd. Blown away. like someone in the business who has made TV shows, made movies, whatever, and just said, literally, it's unbelievable.
Is it?
So
John Forsythe? John Forsythe?
Do you know that he's already a big fan of it? Have you already heard that?
Is it Miller Boyette? Is it the people of Miller Boyette?
So I was so honored to be asked to be in it. And I love, you know, from what I've heard, I love the way the scene came out, and I can't wait. I really can't wait to see the whole thing.
Yeah. I'm excited for you to see it.
Yeah. You really rock it.
Thank you, Judd.
Yeah. And another person, another star of the film who does a terrific job and has been on this show once before, but also under different odd circumstances. It's Lisa Traeger.
Hey. Yay. So happy. Canceled my COVID test to be here today.
Oh, no.
No, I'm going tomorrow. Tragedy. I'm going to go
tomorrow. What world are we living in where you cancel the COVID tests to be on my podcast?
No, it's embarrassing how excited I am to be on this podcast.
Well, it's always fun to have you. We did one once in the fishbowl at the Sirius XM.
Yeah, and you bent the rules for me because I didn't know any Harrison Ford movies. So I got to say two Edward Norton movies for every one Harrison Ford movie. And I'm thankful for that.
It seemed very fair, and we'll probably have to arrive at some sort of agreement again here today when we get to the...
No, I've been watching movies. Also, not to be crazy, I just watched Heavyweights for the first time. Judd, I didn't know you were so busy. I can't believe I saw your name on the... I couldn't believe it.
You couldn't believe that in the mid-90s that I made a movie about a summer camp for overweight boys.
No, I was so excited. I actually worked at a fat camp, but I got fired because I failed a breathalyzer one morning. But
oh, my gosh. Well, that's the funny thing about fat camps is there's a whole world of illicit sale of candy to the kids because most of the kids are very wealthy.
Oh, my God. I have yeah.
No, I was taking the stuff away from them, but we also had to make sure they weren't having sex at night, and we would go on Nookie Patrol.
I heard about this as well. When I researched, I went to a camp, and I heard instantly that they are sex dens, these camps.
Yeah.
I want to interrupt because this is so interesting right now because I went to fat camp for 4 years.
Which one?
I went to Kingsmont in the Berkshires, where all of my parents' Jewish friends had houses. And so I'd have to walk every morning at 6 a.m. with 300 fat kids next to cows in the pasture. And like my Aunt Sheila would drive by in her Mercedes and honk and be like, "You're doing great, Jesse." And I was like stepping with hay on me next to a cow. But I did. I went for 4 years and it was great.
Those kids were so nice. We met all those kids when we researched it.
Yeah.
And there was one kid there, and he goes like, "My mom is dating." No, he goes, "My dad is dating Mariah Carey. She's such a bitch." I always remember that. And by the way, she is not. So shut your mouth.
That's true. She's not a bitch.
She's the best. She's my favorite. But that made me laugh so hard. It's like little kid all pissed off. Mariah Carey was dating his dad.
I feel as long as she has the lighting she wants, she's in a good mood.
Oh, I saw her in Vegas, let me tell you. It was everything I wanted it to be.
I've got a King of Staten Island question for you, Judd.
Yes.
How did you arrive at, what was the thought process behind having characters watching Game of Thrones at one point?
I just always loved that scene. I just thought that scene was funny where Peter Dinklage slaps the guy in the face. I'm a giant Peter Dinklage fan. My wife is doing an animated movie with him right now, which means she's never met him. But we had this idea that, you know, Pete's sister is going to college, and the second she leaves, you know it's going to be so awkward that Pete lives alone with his mom and that his mom would try to you know, say, are we going to hang out? Like, what's this new relationship going to be? Like, you want to binge a show together? And that's like every young person's nightmare, their mom wanting to watch like 70 hours of television with them. So we thought you would ask to watch Game of Thrones, and then he would have seen it already, and it would just be kind of sad and awkward, and it would give you a sense of the nightmare that was coming.
Yeah, I felt like they were binging it because they were treating it too casually. Like, Game of Thrones is a show you got to really, you can't have a conversation while you're watching it.
That show's also been on for so long. Like, my friend said that in the time of Game of Thrones, she was watching it with her boyfriend. They got married, moved to a different city, and had a baby. And yeah. Then Game of Thrones ended. Like,
can I tell you, I am not done with it. I'm literally on season 4. And what'll happen is I'll get busy for like 6 weeks. I try to get back into it. I don't remember who anyone is.
Yeah.
I start reading the wiki page. I get lost. I get discouraged. And then I'll come back in, do another year or two. And then it happens again.
I've been watching so much TV here.
What's is there something standing out as like a thing you'd recommend for people to watch right now?
Yes, I would say the feel-good show of the decade is RuPaul's Drag Race. It is
24 hours a day in our house.
It is
24 hours a day. Never get shut off, and I'm not even joking.
They are acting, they're dancing, they are singing, they're funny, they're doing their own makeup, there's outfits, and I've changed the way I speak. I started using words I've never used before. And then on the drama side, I watched The Americans, which I
That's enjoyed. A perfect show. They pulled it off. When you watch the whole thing, I won't give it away. When you get to the end of the last episode, when that series is over, you turn to your loved one and you go, they fucking pulled it all off. The whole thing.
Yeah, it's really incredible. And it's sexy. There's a lot of nudity for a basic cable. A lot of butts.
You know what's depressing? Oh, yeah. I haven't watched any TV because I'm too, like, I can't focus. Isn't that
No, you have too many children is your problem.
It's not just that. You're right. That's probably a big part of it. Plus, I'm
But it is hard to, like, that's what I like about binging TV shows now is that you can, take breaks. You know, you can kind of go back and forth between entertainment and reality. You know, you can like look at the news for a little while and get sick of that and then go back to something to escape. I really liked watching all of Jim Carrey's show, Kidding, on Showtime.
Wait, Judd, would you do Celebrity Drag Race?
No, if called upon, I'm always ready to go. Every once in a while I get asked to do things on shows, and there's always a debate in my house about whether or not it's like too corny to do it. Like, I'll get asked to be on The Bachelor, like teaching the ladies to write a joke. And I'll get the ask and I'll be like, this is the best day of my life. I am going to be on The Bachelor. And I'm just so happy. And then one by one, my family's like, you can't be the guy teaching the women. That's so corny, Dad. You can't do that. But what I realize is, it's not that they think it's corny. It's they think, I'm going to ruin the show they love by being a part of it. Like, I'm going to soil it because I'm the corny one who will destroy it. And by the way, The Bachelor with the songwriters totally worked. They pulled it off. Another one, The Americans and The Bachelor, Listen to Your Heart, totally rocked it.
Those are the two most perfect series ever committed.
That's my highest recommendation.
Or tape.
I get in big fights with Leslie because she does something that's awful, which is we'll be watching a show, you know, we'll be like hanging out, you know, watching Dead to Me or something, and we'll be on like episode 2, season 2. I'll like get busy for like a day or two. I'll come home like, let's watch episode 3. And she's like, I'm done.
Yeah.
Screws me. And doesn't care. Doesn't care at all about the violation of the marriage and how it's supposed to work, just blows past me.
That happens to me too.
Evil.
And then do you ever watch it, or do you give up because you have to watch other stuff with Leslie, that like she's moving on to other shows?
I don't want to move on to something
else without you.
I haven't seen the third season of almost any show on television. I haven't seen the end of The Crown yet because of this thing. I haven't seen the last few episodes of Narcos Mexico. This is Leslie's destroying television for me.
Oh, I do want to give another shout out. Bravo is really helping me get through everything too.
What's on Bravo?
Real Housewives of Potomac, I'm catching up on. Right now we have a new season of Real Housewives of New York and Beverly Hills. And there's Below Deck Sailing Yacht just ended and Below Deck Mediterranean just started. And Watch What Happens Live. So
you know, here's the thing.
A lot of
I don't really love any of that. I just love Danielle Staub. That's the only thing I like.
How do you know her?
I watch some of that. And I was like, this is the best person ever on television. She's even better than Tony Soprano. And then at any reality show I watch, I'm like, no one's as good as Danielle Staub. I don't know. Maybe she reminds me of my mom or something. But that's for me, reality perfection.
Yeah, no, she's nuts. If you don't know her, she's been like proposed to or married like 22 times. She's been to jail. She was a prostitute. She has a fake name. You know, she pulled a woman's ponytail this last season.
I should watch her. It's very familiar.
Yeah.
A lot of my partners have been like that.
Well, thank you all.
A lot of kids stuff?
What?
Nothing. Move on. I just can't handle silences, so I just filled it how I could.
I'm the same way.
I was like, what children's shows are you watching with the babies? Like, who cares?
The great thing with Doug is you never know if the pause is because, like, the Zoom has a delay or he's just, like, stoned and there's, like, a half-second delay of his mind.
Yeah, there's always anytime I'm, like, on cable news or something, there's that extra second of delay. It makes it especially awkward.
Let me give a compliment to Lisa, if I may.
Yes,
please.
Talk about the greatness Lisa. Of both of these women's work in The King of Staten Island is – I asked Lisa to come in to play a waitress at the restaurant where Pete Davidson's character works. Yeah. And that's always an interesting assignment because I really don't have a script. We're just improvising. We're trying to make the restaurant feel real. We want to, you know, run people through certain moments. It's great if they score. If they don't score, it might get cut out. Or maybe you don't even need it because you're trying to plow forward in the story. And she rocked it. She has like a bunch of like great moments. And when we tested, it got huge laughs.
Oh my God, I'm smiling so big right now.
Yeah, that's amazing.
And
yeah, I haven't
great.
Seen it yet. And it's funny you say that because that's on set. That's what I was thinking. I was like, bitch, do not get cut out of this movie. I was like, you have to slay. You have to bring it. Because
people did get cut out of the movie. Gary Goldman removed from the movie.
Mm. Whoa.
You know why? Because the scene was so long and he was the button joke and he was fantastic, but it was like, I can't stay in this scene to have Pete now walk across this classroom to do this next stage of the bit. So even though he is one of the greats of all time and I love him, see ya.
Is Gary Goldman, is he supposed to be, is he like a teacher in the movie?
He was playing like, there was a scene where Pete drops off. Well, I don't want to give it, but he's dropping off this child at a preschool and the teacher asks him to like clean the paintbrushes. And then you overhear Gary having a very annoying conversation about how they're raising their kids and not letting their kids watch TV and all this annoying stuff. And then Pete has an interaction with him. And but that's what's hard about these movies because you never know. Oh, Rich Voss is in the movie with Bonnie McFarlane, and they play a couple that Pete has to deal with as a busboy who are giving him shit. They made it. They survived. They have big jobs.
And what is Rich Voss mispronounced? Doesn't he say a word wrong?
Says, I know he says he tries to say chicken parmesan. I know he says he wants his food faster. I know he goes, go get our shit. and they're both great. They're both and Derek Gaines, same thing.
He blew me away. I didn't know.
He's really funny.
Yeah. Everyone was great. It was so cool. The cinematographer was so cool. It was just an amazing.
Oh, that's funny that you mentioned Robert Elswit. I was excited to see his name, Judd, because one of his first movies that he ever DP'd was a movie that I played a bunch of zombies in, Return of the Living Dead Part 2.
Fantastic. That's so amazing. When I was working on The Cable Guy, which is the second movie I worked on, I remember me and Ben Stiller met with him because he had shot a great movie called Unlawful Entry with Kurt Russell and Ray Liotta, which was like a, you know, like you bond with this neighbor who then kind of turns evil on you.
Yeah.
And we just didn't hire him. And I always wanted to work with him. He did There Will Be Blood and Boogie Nights and, you know, some of the Bourne Identity movies. So the movie ridiculous.
He's done most of the Paul Thomas Anderson movies. Like, he's become this amazing cinematographer. And then the photography in King of Staten Island is great, too. But I think the takeaway from this movie, aside from you, Judd, being doing more of a dramatic film and not necessarily every scene is comedic, but also Bill Burr and Pete Davidson, everyone's going to be blown away by their dramatic acting.
Yes. Yeah. It's really impressive. You know, Pete is a real natural actor. He's completely unafraid to be very vulnerable and emotional. And Bill, you know, he's playing this blowhard guy, but he's also very sweet and funny and warm and shows all these other dimensions that we all know about Bill because we know Bill. And he's a fantastic actor. I mean, he really steals every scene he's in.
Oh, that's so great.
Yeah. And everybody can watch it tonight.
On something. On something.
I still haven't seen it. I like can't believe it.
On the Apple Watch, on some sort of like, you know, the old Einstein machine.
Well,
you know, Apple Lisa has it.
I'm very frustrated because so my parents are 82 and 75 from the Soviet Union, and I'm going to have to talk them through how to rent this movie on their television through FaceTime or something. So I'm looking forward to that as well.
Have they ever rented a movie ever?
We used to go to Blockbuster every week, of course, but they just watch Russian television in the house.
I can get you a VHS.
That would be amazing.
Them the director is Russian, maybe that'll make them like it.
Oh yeah, for sure.
They're gonna love it.
Well, thank you all for being here, and this is the part of the show where I say, let the games begin.
Here we go.
Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe, now available on digital. Crowe portrays an ex-homicide detective unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery.
CarMax is putting peace of mind back in car shopping by putting you in the driver's seat to find a ride that's right for you. Because at CarMax, we believe you shouldn't just settle for a car. You should love your car. That's why every car we sell is CarMax certified quality, so you can be sure with upfront pricing that's the same for every customer. So don't settle. Find love at first drive and start shopping now at CarMax.com. CarMax, the way car buying should be.
We're going to start with a game called Whose Tagline Is It Anyway? And how that works is, Judd, I'm going to read you a tagline from a motion picture. You know, it's either in the ads or on the poster. And then you get one guess what film it is. Okay. If you miss, then Jessica will have a crack at it. And then Lisa, and it goes on from there. And there's a theme to all of the answers. So when you figure out the theme, it might make it easier to guess the titles.
Okay. Here we go.
Starting with you, Judd, and the tagline, off the island into your home.
Off the island into your home.
Yeah.
Okay. There's the Madonna movie where she's a castaway. There's the Castaway movie with Tom Hanks. There's the Harlem Globetrotters visit, Gilligan's Island. I'm going to say...
and when they get back, they go into people's homes?
It could be Club Paradise. off the island into your home. That is a tough one. Am I close at all, Doug? Am I in any?
No, but those guesses were all fun.
That was mostly all my people guesses.
Usually people don't have that many guesses. They just stammer for a while.
Okay, well, off the island into your home. Well, I guess I have to pass because I don't have it, and that's all I had. So
that's perfect. Perfect strategy. Jessica, do you have any idea what this would be the tagline for?
Off the island and into your home.
Well, you just punched it up a little bit with that "and" in between.
Oh, there's no "and."
Off the island, into your home.
Oh my God, this is so stressful.
Oh no, I didn't mean to stress you out.
No, it's okay. It's okay. This is the last thing I needed. the boy with the striped pajamas.
Can I tell you a story about the boy with the striped pajamas? When my daughter was like 8 or 9, she went on a sleepover at a friend's house, and the parents showed that to my daughter, mom, and she was traumatized forever. I'm like, who shows like a little kid the boy in the striped pajamas?
That is so crazy to me.
What kids don't love boys in striped pajamas, though? It's like, it's made for kids.
Yeah. Oh, then my cousin showed my other daughter Rent when she was like 7, and she never recovered from that either.
Oh, God. Well, I don't know. Fantasy Island?
Oh, that's a good guess.
Yeah.
Well, that's okay. Not what I can tell by the response, but that's my guess.
Yeah, incorrect. Lisa?
I'm going to go with, like, is it Kong, Skull Island, like a King Kong movie?
That is a really, really good guess. You guys all had terrific guesses. I wouldn't have figured this one out. It's from the most recent, it's Jurassic World Fallen Kingdom.
Oh,
wow. I didn't think it would be something so intense. With that kind of a tagline, into your home, like into your home to murder you.
Yeah, because don't the dinosaurs just show up at people's houses? Like, they almost are like Mormons, I think. They come back from Jurassic World and they just start knocking on doors.
Jurassic Park. Isn't Jurassic Park the same thing as Westworld? So Michael Crichton wrote Westworld, the book. And I remember that as a kid with Richard Benjamin and Yul Brynner. And then he wrote Jurassic Park, which is the exact same story as Westworld. And it's like nobody noticed.
Yeah, it's just like he's just rewriting the, amusement park with robots goes bad.
Yeah.
Yeah, basically.
My mom went to high school with him. I don't know. It's just trivia. It's just trivia, Doug. It's just trivia.
It's fun to talk about him because it's pronounced Crichton, but it doesn't look that way when you see it spelled out.
Yeah.
here's the next tagline, Judd.
Okay.
They're deserters, rebels, and thieves, but in the nicest way possible.
They're deserters, but in the nicest way possible.
I should also mention that taglines are often terrible. They often not do a good job.
I have a friend who writes these. Do you know who used to write these? Dave Allen. You know Higgins Boys and Gruber, Dave
Allen? Yeah, of course, Gruber.
Mr. Rosso. He would write these with Steve Bannis.
I love that. That's so cool.
Okay. Oh, wait. Okay. Let me think about this.
Deserters, rebels, and thieves, but in the nicest way possible.
Three kings?
That is correct.
Wow.
Wow.
Yeah.
I looked it up on my phone.
Oh, my totally God. Cheated. That's hysterical.
I totally cheated. I got very insecure about the fact that I know nothing, and I did the thing you're not supposed to do, and it was a dick move, but I admitted it like immediately. afterwards. And let me tell you something else. That's one of the great movies. Not only did I Google it, but it's a movie that, like, I tell people I've seen. I've never seen that movie. I don't know why I've never seen that movie.
Great.
Everybody says it's like, the best movie, and like I just have never watched it. I don't know why. Sometimes, like, I'll see like a, it's like in the desert, and it seems dry and not like fun to be in that space. And in my body, I'm just like, I don't want to be in that desert in that tent.
Yeah.
Well, there's a lot of tension throughout the movie. There's always situations that are uncomfortable and people, you know, on the verge of being, you know, killed all the time. So it's pretty intense, but it's my favorite David O. Russell. I really do like it a lot.
I love David O. Russell. I have no reason not to see it other than my fear of the desert. But okay, my phone is off. I'm in airplane mode. Let's toss that one out. That was for comedy's sake. Let me do another one that I'll be fair.
Everyone, it felt very real that you, it didn't feel like you cheated.
Well, I'm
it seemed like you really thought about it and you figured out the theme and you went for it. But
there's nothing to gain by cheating. That's the terrible part.
Yeah, but there's also nothing to win by winning today. So it really, it all doesn't matter. But we'll go to Jessica for this next one.
Okay.
Jessica, are you going to Google it?
Oh, I mean, if Judd didn't just admit it and say that he did, I probably would, but now I won't because it's...
Okay.
Yeah.
What movie had the tagline, "It's no laughing matter"?
That seems so easy, except I don't... Oh, that could be so many things. I mean, they probably said that in like 50 movies.
Yeah, it does. It seems like a pretty generic line, especially, you know, once you know what the movie is, the movie deserves a better line than that, I think.
Can you say it one more time?
It's no laughing matter. And if Jessica can't get it, then Lisa gets a shot at it.
Can you give me a hint?
And how Judd.
Funny is that? I'm joking. You don't have to give me a hint. Well, is it a comedy or a drama? Oh, shit. I don't know.
Okay, that's a fair.
I mean, I could like come up with a guess.
That's a reasonable
just to be reference. Funny. Yeah, I don't know.
Lisa, do you have an idea?
I'm gonna say Patch Adams.
That would, strangely, that would work for that. But no. Judd?
I'm going to say Bicentennial Man.
We saw that on Christmas as a family, and my dad was furious.
That's a weird movie, Bicentennial Man. Isn't Mark Wahlberg in that?
I don't know. I never thought.
I think he is. I think he's actually in Bicentennial Man. The actual answer is The King of Comedy.
Oh, my God. I never would have thought that. That was a good movie. When it came out, it was right after Ronald Reagan was shot by John Hinckley. And people were very scared of the whole idea of like stalkers and assassins and kidnappers. And it got a very chilly reception. It did like nothing in the box office, but I will say this, and maybe you don't even know this, Doug. For me, one of my favorite movies of all time, and I think one of the most beautifully shot movies that Scorsese has done. And I always watch that movie as an example of a shooting style. There's a lot of energy and handheld, but yet it's very beautiful. I don't know if it's Michael Ballhaus. I don't know. You can Google it.
That's who I would guess, because he did, you know, Color of Money with Scorsese and a few others.
Yeah.
He passed away recently, but he was great.
Yeah, love it, love it. I love it when they're outside. There's a scene where they're outside. He's fighting with Sandra Bernhard, Robert De Niro. And for no reason, several members of The Clash are in the crowd listening to them fight and yell at them.
I always, as an example of how quick fans can turn on people, and especially now that everybody's getting canceled, it makes even more sense. It was ahead of its time. When Jerry Lewis is walking down the street and Selma Diamond is on the phone and she says, "Hey, will you come over here and say something?" to my sister, and he says, no, I'm in a hurry, and keeps walking. And then she yells, I hope you die of cancer.
Yeah.
Like, immediately goes from fan to that. okay, so here's the next one, and it starts with, who was first last time? Jessica.
Yes.
Okay. Okay, let me recap what we have so far. Jurassic World, Fallen Kingdom, Three Kings, and The King of Comedy. What's this tagline for? Some people, some called him a hero. Some called him the most dangerous man in America.
I have a guess at that one.
Oh, well, you don't get to go first this time, though. It's Jessica's turn.
The King and I?
No, but I like it. Lisa?
Some call him a hero. Some call him the most dangerous man in America. Is it Austin Powell? No. Hold on.
Some called him a hero. Some called him the most dangerous man in America.
I feel like I know this.
I know.
Mr. Bean?
No.
No, okay.
Can I guess?
Judd.
The People vs. Larry Flint?
Oh. No, it's The Fisher King.
Ah.
Never even heard of that.
That was a great movie.
Yeah, it's another Robin Williams, actually, and Jeff Bridges.
But why would he be the most dangerous man in America?
I don't remember. Like, he was crazy, but I don't know why that would make him so dangerous. Like, it's a really misleading tagline that I don't get it, but it's a good movie.
Yeah.
All right. Let's do one more, and then we'll do a tiebreaker if nobody gets it. starting with you, Jessica.
Mm-hmm.
So far, we have Fallen Kingdom, Three Kings, The King of Comedy, and The Fisher King. So what movie had the tagline, Find Your Voice?
Oh. Well, obviously, I mean, I'm just talking it out so I can take some time here. And obviously, the title has the word king in it.
Oh, is that why you're saying these? Oh, God.
I'm yes.
Like, why is he doing
I know.
This?
It took me a second. oh, God. I mean, believe it or not, that's why I said the king and I. I can't think of another movie with the word king.
Isn't there like a kid movie of some kind?
There's a few. King comes up a lot in titles.
King Kong.
Kings of Comedy.
that'd be a terrible tagline for Kings of Comedy. Find your voice. They all found their voices. Lisa, do you have an idea?
I don't know. I'm sorry.
No, it's I was okay. going to say Mr. Holland's Opus because I didn't catch the theme. Find your voice. The Lion
Judge
King?
For the win.
The what? Lion King.
A kid in King Arthur's court.
No.
Oh, those were good. The Lion King.
Those are both great guesses. But Find Your Voice is the
Kingdom
tagline.
Kingdom Come? Is that a movie?
For what?
Kingdom Come? Is that a movie?
It is. I think so. I think they made a movie called that. I think it was based on a comic, maybe. But no, Find Your Voice is the tagline for The King's Speech.
Oh.
Right?
King's Speech.
That movie won Best Picture that year.
I liked it. I liked it, but it beat something really good, didn't it? It beat like a, what was the movie it beat that people were like, what?
It's a solid movie, but there was definitely a better one that year.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's always the movie that everybody can agree
you know, can agree is good instead of just picking one that some people think is great.
The shocking one never wins. Midnight Cowboy never wins.
It won, though, didn't it?
Did it win Best Picture?
I think so.
I mean, every once in a while, Midnight Cowboy wins. Do you know, guys, I don't know if I told you this, but King of Staten Island already won the Oscar for Best Picture.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah, it won because there's not going to be a lot of movies this year, and they were like, we're just going to choose from what's already been out, and then we beat Scooby-Doo.
Yeah, it's just Scoob or King of Staten Island. Of course it's going to win everything.
Yeah, so we just swept.
I feel so bad for all my friends who have kids because they keep having to rent the Trolls World Tour. And so they're spending so much money on that movie.
You know how much I have watched Frozen 2 768 times.
Oh, yeah. Frozen is a heavy rotation. When we first had Maude, when right before we found out Leslie was pregnant, I said to Leslie, let's go see Toy Story. And she just had like a chemical reaction against going to see a strange computer animated movie. She's like, I'm not seeing that. I don't want to see it. I really didn't want to see it. Almost violently against it. I couldn't get her to go. Then we have Maude, and 2 years later, she's watching it 3 times a day for about 8 months. And I would laugh every single time we had to put it back on.
Yeah, Isabella's very into Toy Story now. That's a big one here.
Iron Giant was in heavy rotation. That's a good one if you haven't done Iron Giant. Now, do you guys know how long Doug Benson and I have known each other?
No.
25 years?
Do you know that we were
at least
open micers together? Do you know we've known each other for more than 30 years? Probably about like 33 or 34 years.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, it's crazy.
We used to drive to the Laugh Stop in Claremont, and there was another one next to that. And if you drove really far, instead of getting like 5 minutes, you might get like 8 minutes. So we would do the drives to get to the places that had less people signing up.
Yeah, and we just spent a lot of time in the green room at the comedy club in the Valley. What was that called?
Okay, I'm going to blow your mind. It was called the LA Cabaret, which was a weird club because there was the improv, and then there was an improv in the Valley in Sherman Oaks in this Hilton Hotel. And there was a comedy store, and then there was this club in Encino, which was a very good-looking club, but it was booked with a lot of stragglers, a lot of the people who couldn't get in the improv and the comedy store, and a lot of people who were stars from the comedy store like in the 70s. So you would go there and it would be a lot of like awesome people, but it was just odd lineups because it would be like me, Doug Benson, the unknown comic, Bruce Babyman Baum. And, and it was kind of this awesome, strange place. And the guy that owned it was a very nice man named Ray Bishop. And that is why, and here we go, get ready, Doug. What is Bill Burr's name in King of Staten Island?
It's Ray.
It's Ray Bishop.
That's amazing.
How weird
is
that?
That is so cool.
Yeah, there's no reason for it except that he was the guy that would give us stage time when we really did not deserve it.
Yeah, and it was always a kind of a struggling business too.
And the other person that we ran around to do open mic nights with was a very young Andy Kindler.
Yeah, we've known Andy for a minute too.
And I used to say to Andy, my running gag was with Andy when we were very young men, I would just always say to him, Andy, I have to tell you honestly, I don't think you're going to make it.
And I bet you every time he'd go.
And he was so funny. I was, Andy, I seriously, I watch a lot of comedy. I don't think it's going to work out for you.
His act from day one is talking about how badly the performance is going.
Yeah. Didn't know that was the act. Like back then, we actually thought he was having a hard time. We didn't realize it was the beginning of the evolution of his greatness.
All right, we got to pick a winner today. So I'm going to say one more tagline.
And the first one of the three of you who can tell me the what movie it's for, because I think you'll all know it. It will be the winner today. And I use the term winner very loosely. You're slightly better than the other two guests. Ready?
Yeah.
The Circle of Life.
Lion King!
Lion King. Oh.
Who was that that said it first? Jessica?
I did. No, it was Lisa.
Hey, Lisa's our winner. You did it.
Yes. So excited.
Which version of
comeback?
Animated version or live action?
I have not seen any of the live actions. I am very against them.
Really?
Yeah, there's no point. Like, cartoons are the best. Like, you're going to make a not cartoon version of it. Just is confusing to me. Maybe I'll see Mulan, but
Favreau. John Favreau did a good job with Lion King, I thought, and Jungle Book. If you like, if that's what you want to see is, realistic looking animals talking and singing. But I was disappointed by Jungle Book because they took a lot of the music out of the original movie. And to me, that's like the most fun part about the, the animated one.
But where are you on Dumbo?
You know what? I didn't even see Dumbo because I thought I'm either going to be bored or cry the whole time.
Also, Dumbo is like one of the cutest little cartoons in the world, and then they just made the creepiest little elephant. I don't know.
Do you guys know the tagline of our movie?
What?
That's what I was going to ask you. What is the tagline?
He's trying his best.
What is the tagline of the King of Staten Island?
I'm going to cheat.
He's trying his best?
No, I'm lying.
Can you give us some choices?
Is it "This Kid's on Fire"?
Oh.
Is it
I love that you have to make a couple up off the top of your head.
Is it "No Man Is an Island"? Oh. Is it "This Kid's Adulting"? Okay, I'll tell you the answer. You know what the answer is? There is no tagline. You know why?
Let the title speak for itself.
The taglines are always terrible.
They're so bad. There's like three good taglines, and then all the others.
Yeah, no
taglines. You know what? In space, no one can hear you scream. Just when you thought it was safe to go back in the water. And I can't even think of a third one right now.
There was a really bad one. I got to figure out what it was. I'm going to have to look up for Fast Times at Ridgemont High.
It's terrible.
It's a really bad one.
Yeah.
Let's see.
It's something about dude being awesome or something.
Okay, you ready? Here it is.
Yeah.
The tagline is, "At Ridgemont High, only the rules get busted."
Ugh.
And that's like a very deep, thoughtful movie. It's very real. It's one of my favorite movies of all time. It's very grounded. There's another version where it says, "Hey, bud, let's party." That's all it says. It's a picture of Sean Penn, and it says, "Hey, bud, let's party." Isn't it funny that was the beginning of Sean Penn as like one of the greatest comedic performances of all time?
Yeah, now he doesn't, you can barely see him cracking a smile ever. Like, Spicoli was so likable. And Sean Penn's, likable isn't his go-to usually.
He's so fun. Well, the Falcon and the Snowman.
Lisa, Jessica, you still there?
Yes.
Listening to John and I reminisce. Let's start with Jessica Curson. What are you up to? Like, where can people see you? I love your Twitter. I retweet your stuff.
Wait, are we done with
the
games? There's no more games?
You won.
Yeah, you're the winner.
But we don't do the thing where you name an actor and we go in. I can't believe we're done with the games.
Well, yeah, we have a
get 11 followers.
We have a, we got to be out of here in a few minutes. So that's all the time we have.
Can you just give me a quick little game? No, JK, Jessica, where do we find you?
Oh my God, that's so weird. That's my initials. I have a website, jessicakirsten.com, and I'm on Instagram. I put up a ton of silly videos up there every day, which is Jessie Kirsten. And they, of course, will watch the movie tonight. And I'm so glad to be here. I'm so grateful.
Well, you're so awesome in the movie. You're so great. Yeah. Thank you for doing it.
Thank you, Judd. And I have a podcast, Relatively Sane. So
I've heard it.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I love it. I'd love all of you to do it.
And you had Gary Goldman on there.
I did. Yep. He was great. He was the first one.
Who else was cut out of, who'd you say besides Gary was cut out of King of Staten Island? Because I'd like to do a theme episode of Douglas movies with people that were all cut out of King of Staten Island.
Dan Natterman.
Oh.
Oh, God. He must have freaked out.
He took that really well, I bet.
There's a funny sequence at a baseball stadium, and there's a halftime, like a little show in between innings where they do a grounders challenge, and they have people like try to catch 10 grounders in 30 seconds, and he's the host of it, and he was great, but due to time and some story considerations, the sequence went away. But you know, we're big Dan Natterman fans. He was on Crashing on HBO, and we believe in him. That's all I gotta say.
That's all that matters in the end. Is it one of those things where those guys get credits in the end anyway, or they not even get credit?
I make sure they don't. I fight pretty hard against it.
It is weird whenever there's a character that's not in the movie, but they give them credit anyway because they did the work, but it just is confusing.
Well, the great thing about Gary is you can see him in the background. So it's that weird thing where you're like, oh, there's Gary Goldman, and they don't talk. I think that's always like funny when you know someone got cut out. I think we might have done that to Jenna Fisher in The 40-Year-Old Virgin. I'm not sure where, like, you see her, and then you're like, and maybe in the extended version, you know, we had the whole moment.
Right. There's a great, I just watched Sam Raimi's Drag Me to Hell again.
Oh, that's one of my favorite movies.
It's so good. And in the bank scenes in the loan office with Alison Lohman and David Paymer is a clearly, her role got diminished in the edit. Octavia Spencer is like,
oh, wow.
you see her, but she doesn't speak.
I love those. That's my favorite thing is just weird stuff like that. Like Richard Dreyfuss in The Graduate.
Yeah.
I always thought that was so funny that he has one line in The Graduate. And so in movies, sometimes when we're casting, we put people in because we just believe that they're going to be big one day. And we think it's funny for them to have one line in our movies. And that's how I met Pete, which is we gave him one line in Trainwreck because we're like, I bet he's going to be a big star. Let's give him one line so we could just say we knew before anybody else. And that's how we started talking about working together.
One of my favorite fun little things like that I learned was Glenn Close in Hook. Like she plays a bearded man pirate.
Oh, really?
Yeah, she plays the man pirate that looks like a lady with a beard and mustache on. It's really weird. And they torture her. They put her in the, what do they call it? The Giga or something? They put her like in a box to torture her. It's really weird.
Yeah, I have a question for you, Doug. We spent so many of our formative years together, yet I don't think I have, like, any photos. Did you take any pictures of anything?
I don't think I found a flyer recently that we were both on. And
photos.
I was never really, you know, I have family pictures and stuff, but like out in the comedy world, hanging out at the LA Cabaret, I don't remember ever taking any pictures. You know, we didn't have phones to take pictures.
Yeah.
So we just didn't do it.
Nobody did. We didn't even have the internet.
I also remember Igby's. We were at Igby's all the time.
Yeah, I remember going there to see George Carlin work on his set. Which was a weird thing, because you never saw George Carlin work on a set. He was never anywhere, and they were like, he's going to Igby's to run the, the new set, and it was really, really remarkable. And his set was very, very dark, and he would bring up subjects, and he goes, "People say this can't be funny," and then he would like go, "I bet you I can make it funny," and he started just bringing up every topic that you're not allowed to talk about. And I mentioned that because the next thing I'm going to do is I'm going to do a documentary about George Carlin.
Yeah, breaking news. Oh, it was just announced today that you're doing that. That sounds, is it, how much do you know about like how soon we're going to see it and how long it's going
to? I don't know. I mean, I think it'll be two parts because I feel like the beginning of his career through like the Supreme Court case, you know, where he was accused of being obscene on television is a full documentary on its own. And then I think the next run and all the material he did that last 5 or 6 years, which at the time people thought was really dark, it's all turned out to be true. It's all pretty prophetic, everything that he was talking about. There's an amazing clip online if you go on YouTube, and it's called online American Dream that you should just listen to. It's just one of the great bits about America. It's so on point.
Remember when he did that long interview with Jon Stewart?
Yes, I do. That was like at the U.S. Comedy Festival.
Yeah, I mean, you know, dig that up because that was one of the best, you know, interviews about comedy I've ever seen.
Yeah,
and
that was remarkable.
Yeah, Carlin's just, I'm very, very excited about this. And of course, all of my guests have the King of Staten Island in your home for your viewing right now. Lisa Traeger, what else would you like to plug?
I'm at Glitter Cheese on all the things. And then since I don't have work anymore, I am on Cameo. And I have been putting on lingerie and bikinis. So if you'd like to order a Cameo for me, $20.
I love you.
I love you. Yeah, so I'm just desperate on the internet. I didn't ever use technology before this. I thought I could do stand-up forever. So I'm trying to make videos on Patreon, but I wouldn't subject you to it. But if you want to do that, you can do that too.
Okay. It's real strong sales there.
yeah,
but $20, that's a, you know, that's a great price on Cameo. Like I think you'll get some action.
I know, but I'm also not that popular. So last weekend I was like, everyone that orders a Cameo, I'm donating everything to charity. And then it was such a not big amount. It was humiliating. I wish I didn't announce it to everybody, but
what did you keep it, the money?
No, I already gave it. I gave it away.
Well, how much is $40 going to buy?
Yeah, exactly. No, it was like $180. I don't know.
That's a lot.
It's something. Yeah, all of these places.
Weird. In this time, though, it's like weird to be jealous that other people can raise more money. But that's how I feel. I'm like, oh, this younger comedian raised this much. It's like sick. It's sick. We don't have like other things to be jealous of anymore. So I'm just like jealous of people's fundraising abilities.
Yeah, and just jealous about, you know, I get jealous about everybody that I hear is going back to work in you know, in some way, you know, people that already had a show and now they can do like kind of a remote version of it. I'm jealous of those people. Like when the pandemic started, it was a bad time to not have something you were already working on.
Yeah.
But on that fun note, thank you to all three of you. I love the movie, and I'm excited that people are going to see it. And hope to have you all back on the show sometime soon.
Thank you so much. Thank you for having us.
As always.
This was a delight to have the cast here. So happy.
As always, this is Ripley, last surviving member of this Nostromo, signing off.
Yay, bye.
Now it's time for Doug to watch another talkie. Eyes of Gold, his viewing prowess makes him cocky. There's no